Okay, we're starting from the two dots in the middle of Dalet and Aleph. Here, the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah, which says, "Aval lo mimei geshamim u'mimei akilon." You're not allowed to water the field from rainwater or mei akilon. Seems to be that water that's mei akilon are deep cisterns, and rainwater are pools of rainwater. The Gemara says, "Bishlama mei akilon." Why is there a problem with regards to mei akilon? Ika tircha yateira, because there is an effort that has to be made, an excessive effort that has to be made that we're not going to permit on Chol HaMoed, because you have to draw the water. The cistern is very deep. Either you're going to have to use a pole, you're going to have to use a bucket, you're going to have to use something to draw the water out, and that's the type of exertion and engagement that we don't want happening on Chol HaMoed. When we talk about pools of rainwater, what's the big deal? Why can't you water from these pools of rainwater? Now we have two possibilities. One is Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gzeira Megshamim Atu Mekilon. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's a Gzeira, that the Megshamim might look like Mekilon. There's nothing inherently wrong with Megshamim. It's just that we don't want pools of water being used, because if we allow you to use a pool of rainwater, you might think that a pool of water in a cistern would be just as okay. But that's not true, because Mekilon is problematic because of the amount of effort that needs to be exerted. Megeshamim does not require that type of effort. But if we allow you to take pooled water, then you can do the same thing with the cistern, and that's why we do not allow it. On the other hand, Ravashi Amar, Megeshamim Gufay Lidei Mekilon Atu. Ravashi says there's something inherently wrong with Megeshamim, which is that, yes, Megeshamim, when they're pools of rainwater, they're fine until they start to draw down. Once the rainwater in the pool starts to draw down, they start to look like a cistern because they're deeper pools. And now you have to start drawing the water, making more exerted efforts or investment in order to get the water out. And now it starts to look like Mekilon. So Rabbi Yochanan says the problem here is a gzeira. There's nothing inherently wrong with the Mekshamim. It's a gzeira atu Mekilon. As Vashi says, that Mekshamim can have a problem. They may not all the time have a problem, but they can lead to a problem that will make them look like Mekilon. And they argue in this position of Rabbi Zera. Rivers that draw water from the rainwater pools, you can use them to water your fields on Chol HaMoed. One of them holds Rabbi Zera, and one of them does not hold of Rabbi Zera. How to read this? Machloket Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi suggests that Rabbi Yochanan is more machmir than Ravashi. Because Rabbi Yochanan says it does not matter what the status of the water that you are sourcing from is. Even when you have water that will never run out, Rabbi Yochanan says a gzeira is a gzeira, and therefore it's always asur. So it doesn't matter what the megeshamim are. It doesn't matter that the megeshamim have a live source. It doesn't matter that the megeshamim will not run out. Doesn't matter what the megeshamim are, it's always going to be asur, because pools of water are problematic, period. That's the gzeira, in order to avoid getting into problems of mekilon. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is the chumra according to Rashi. On the other hand, Ravashi says that the issue here is simply that the megeshamim will start to look like mekilon. But in an instance where there's a live source to the megeshamim, and it will not draw down, then Ravashi would agree that the megeshamim are permitted. And so now what the Gemara is saying is that Rabbi Zera here permits you to use these rivers that are drawn from the pools of rainwater. And we're going to see in a second in the Gemara, that's in an instance where the water flow is uninterruptible. So since it's uninterruptible, Rabbi Zera says that's fine. That is similar to Ravashi, who says that if the water source is live and it will not draw down, then it's fine. Rabbi Zera says the same thing. So Ravashi will hold the Rabbi Zera. The hand Rabbi Yochanan, who has a blanket gzeira, he will not hold of Rabbi Zera. That's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that Ravashi amar gishamim gufayu, that gishamim themselves kishaposek hamatar atili de mikilon. As soon as the rain stops dropping, as soon as you stop having rain there, they're going to turn into a cistern. As soon as the source of water is shut off, meaning the rain, then they turn into mikilon. Klamat tzarich lamalot mehen bedli b'makom shenikabtsu, and you have to use a bucket to get them out. Upligi b'had Rabbi Zera, and this argues in Rabbi Zera, Damar narota moshchim in agam mutar lashkot mehen b'chol shemoyt. These rivers that come off of these water pools are allowed to be used in chol shemoyt. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan eat later Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yochanan says that's fine. You can take the water flows from the Narot, because a nahar doesn't look like a cistern. According to the Rabbeinu Hanano, the whole problem here is that pools of water look like megishamim, look like mekilon. And that's where the gzera applies, according to Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, if you take it out of a river, a nahar that's mosheich, that doesn't look like a pool of water, and there's no gzera in that case. So Rabbi Yochanan will hold the Rabbi Zera, who says that a nahar mosheich you can draw from. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah. On the other hand, Ravashi, who says that the whole problem is that as soon as the source of water is shut off, then megishamim, something that's sourced out of megishamim, is the same as mekilon, then it applies even when you have a river that is sourced out of rainwater, because it has the same status as rainwater. Then the Gemara says, Kufa, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Bar Yirmi, Amar Shmuel, Narot HaMoshchim Mayim Min HaGamim. These rivers that draw water off of the rain pools, Mutar Lashkot Mehem B'Cholo Shel Moed. You're allowed to use them to irrigate the fields on Cholo Shel Moed. Eitavei Rabbi Yirmi, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Avalo Mimegishamim, Velo Mimekilon. Doesn't our Mishnah say that you're not allowed to source with rainwater, you're not allowed to source from a cistern? Samalei Yirmiya Bri. He says, Yirmiya, my young man, my child. Hani Agamim de Bavel, Kemayet Lo Paske Damu. So I assume he was saying this to Rabbi Yirmiya, who came from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zeira, who also has a connection to Eretz Yisrael, but was more familiar with Bavel, says that the Agamim in Bavel, these water pools in Bavel, are similar to a spring because they never run out. The flowing water there is strong enough or has enough supply where they won't run out. So according to Rashi, this is the premise for the question. The premise of the question is that Rabbi Zeira believes that when you have a water source that doesn't run out, then it's mutar. And that goes against Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's irrelevant what the water source is. It's a gzeira that says any pooled water is problematic. Any megishamim is problematic. It is like Ravashi, who says that it's only something that can become mekilon. Well, megishamim that have a permanent flow are not going to come mekilon, so it won't be an issue. So Ravashi says the answer to the Gemara here is part of the premise in the question. Rabbeinu Hanano actually says that the original question, or the original way that we're assuming, is that Rabbi Yochanan holds of Rabbi Zeira, whereas Ravashi does not hold of Rabbi Zeira, because Rabbi Yochanan says only pooled water is problematic, river water is fine. Whereas Ravashi says that anything that is megishamim is problematic because it eventually looked like mekilon. Then here the Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira's case of the Nahar Mosheich is only a case where the water flow or the water source is permanent or will not run out. So in that case, even Ravashi will agree with Rabbi Zeira, because Ravashi only disagreed with Rabbi Zeira in the first place, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, is because Ravashi says the water is going to be drawn down and it's going to look like mekilon. But now once we have assumed, or once we have established, that the source over here of this Nahar will not run out, in that case, even Ravashi can agree with Rabbi Zeira, because Ravashi will say, well, there it's not going to run down, it's not going to look like Mekilon, and therefore it's fine. So according to the Rabbeinu Hanano, once we get to the conclusion of the Gemara, everybody agrees with Rabbi Zeira. Whereas according to Rashi, the conclusion of the Gemara here, which is the statement of Rabbi Zeira, that the Agamim Bavel Kamaya de Lopaske, is the premise for the question against Rabbi Yochanan, or why Rabbi Zeira doesn't hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Right, Tana Rabbanan, we have a braita. Psikot vabrechot. Rashi says they're the same thing, which are these pools of water. Shinit malu mayim me'erev yom tov. They were filled with water before Yom Tov came in. Asur lashkot mehen b'cholo shumoed. You're not allowed to use them to gain water from, or to irrigate your fields from them on cholo shumoed. Now the problem, as Rashi says, is we're worried that you're going to run out of water. And if the water runs out, what are you going to do? You're going to go to another location and get the water. Because once you've already started watering the field, you've invested in the field, you're not going to give up. So now, if this water source is terminated somehow or runs out, you're actually going to go to a further water source, and then it's going to become a tircha yetera. Then it's going to become like mekilon. So we don't allow you to use these pools of water because there's risk in the fact that they might run out. And so therefore we won't allow you to use them on Chol HaMoed. But, im hayta amata mayim overet b'nehem, mutar. If there is a water channel that goes through the area, which basically means that there's an alternate water source that's there, then it's mutar. Because even if the pools run out, you can use the water channel to irrigate the field without doing much more or investing more to get the water there. You already have the water channel that's there. So then you can use the Segot and the Brechot, because you have a backup. Amar Papa, Vahu Shiruba Shalota Sade Shote Meuta Amata Mayim. That's only true if the water channel provides enough water to irrigate the majority of the field that it's passing by, because then it's really a backup water source. On the other hand, Rav Ashi amar, afo pishen ruba, shalota, sadeh, shoteh, kevin de kamashcha, va'atya. So he says, even though the water channel will not feed or irrigate the majority of this field, nevertheless, because the channel continues to flow, it's water that will not stop. Therefore, Meima Amar, he will say to himself, Iloshatya lechadyoma, if the water coming through the water channel is not sufficient for me to water or irrigate my field in one day, Tishte letreo tlatayome, it'll take me 2 or 3 days, but I'll get the field watered, because the water channel is a water that is not an interruptible source. The source will keep coming, so it might take me 3 days instead of 1 day, but I do have a source of water, and therefore they're not going to go walk off or try to bring the water from far away, because he has the option to use the irrigation channel, the water channel that's there. So that's what Rav Ashi says, as long as there's a possibility of solving your problem, even though it might entail waiting a little bit longer or having it going, because it's an uninterruptible source of water, like Rav Ashi said before. When you have an uninterruptible source of water, there's no longer a problem with Megishamim. There's no longer a problem that is going to look like Mekilon. So even though it might take you longer to water the field, that's fine. But Papa, on the other hand, says no, that if you have a backup, the backup has to be sufficient to water your entire field. If it's not sufficient to water your entire field, then it's not a backup. And you're going to end up opting to go to somewhere else, going far away, and engaging in Tircha Yeteira and Chol HaMoed, which we don't want you to do. Tana Rabbanan, Brecha Shenotefet Mayim Misadeh Beit HaShlachim. Zo, mutar lashkot mimena sadeh beit hashlachim acheret. So here you have, let's call it terraces along the mountainside, and you have a mayan, you have a spring that waters or irrigates one of the levels on the terracing. So the spring continues to water the area of that terrace, irrigates the level that the mayan is on. But then, after the field itself is watered, because it's in a terraced structure, some of the water runs off that field to a lower pool, a pool that is down below, that's on the level of the next down of the terracing, meaning that the next field down on the terracing that needs to be irrigated. So here you have a first field, a top field, let's call it, that is irrigated through a mayan, through a spring. And then you have a field that is terraced below it, that area, which gets its water from the drips that come off the upper field. It's fed by the water leakage or seepage from the upper field. But it doesn't go directly into the field, it goes into a pool. And then from that pool, they irrigate the lower field. So that's what the Gemara says, this Braita says, that a brecha shenotefet mayim misadeh beit hashlachim zo, mutar lashkot mimena sadeh beit hashlachim acheret, you can use it for the other field. Veha avido de pasco. Wait a minute, the water can stop. The water flow from the upper field can stop coming down. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'adayin hi mitaftefet, as long as it's still dripping. As long as you still have water dripping from the upper field into the pool down below, then you can continue to irrigate from that pool on Chol HaMoed, because we know it's not going to run out, because there's still a drip, or there's still water flow from the upper field. So that's Amar Abaye. Abaye says exactly what you were asking, David. V'hoshalo pasak mayan rishon. Assuming that the original spring is still flowing, then there's no problem here. As long as the original spring is in force, that means that you have an uninterruptible supply of water. Number two is, it's dripping from the upper field, which means that you will continue to supply the pools in the lower field, then you're fine, because you have exactly what you just said. You have an uninterruptible source of water. You have a mayan, plus you have the flow of water from the upper field to the lower field, and that's giving you the source of water that you're not going to worry about running out, and that's why it is mutar to use it on Chol HaMoed. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi Omer, Shtei Arugot Zu Lamalo Mizu. You have two patches, pieces of land that are used for production. Lo yitle min ha-tachtona v'yashke et el-yuna. May not draw the water from the lower field and bring it to the upper field. Yoter al-kein, amar Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon, afilo aruga achat, even in a single patch, even in a single area that is planted, chetzia namuch v'chetzia gavoha, it's not a flat plain, but rather it's on an incline. You may not, lo yidle b'makom namuch v'yashke l'makom gvoah. You shouldn't draw the water from the lower half of the field and bring it up to the upper, the higher part of the field. Rashi says over here, the problem is, d'ika tircha yitero. It's just too much effort, it's too much work, and we're not going to permit that on Chol HaMoed. This is too much of an undertaking to permit on Chol HaMoed, so certainly we're not going to let you draw water from the lower field to bring it to the upper field. But Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon adds on The additional thing, which is even in a single field, if it's not on a flat plane, we're not going to let you draw the water because it's going to entail way too much effort for you to water irrigate the field, especially when you have to go uphill the whole time. Right, Tana Banan, Madlin liyirakot kedei lochlan v'mishvili aputan asur. One is allowed to. Now, the way we're reading it, madlim is from the word dli or madle, which means to draw water. One is permitted to draw water for vegetables on Chol HaMoed kedei lochlan, in order to facilitate your ability to eat them on Chol HaMoed. So if you want to accelerate or finish the ripening of the vegetables and they need some water, you can draw the water and water them so that you can eat them and utilize them on Yom Tov itself. But imishvili aputan, if it's coming to add additional benefit to these vegetables, then we don't allow you to water the field, because then it's no longer what we call ukume ilane. It's no longer just maintaining the status quo, protecting the vegetables from drying out, but here you're trying to improve the production or the outcome here. That we won't let you do on Chol HaMoed. Ravina v'Rabba Tosva, Avaka Azle Borcha, Rabba Tosva and Ravina were walking along the way. Chazud Agavro Davi Dali Davla B'Chola D'Moada. He saw somebody walking with a bucket, and he was drawing water on Chol HaMoed, obviously to water his fields. Amale Rabba Tosva the Ravina, Leiti Mar D'Shamte. Put him into excommunication. Here he is. He's doing work on Chol HaMoed. He should be excommunicated. What about the Braita that we just quoted? Madlin Yirakot, Kedei Lochlan. You could draw water in order to produce vegetables that will be eaten on Chol HaMoed itself. What you understood the word Madlin to mean, Madlin Mayo, to draw the water, you got that wrong. It's not modifying the water, but rather madlin is modifying the irakot. My madlin. What does it mean, madlin, over here? Madlin is shelufe, which means that you pick out the vegetables that are in the way. Kiditznan. Like we have in a Mishnah where this terminology of meidal is used, not to mean to draw water, but rather to take out. Hameidal bakfanim. Person who takes out the excess vines that are in the vineyard, that are causing a problem for the residual vines to grow. So, amidal b'kfanim, k'shem shu midal b'shelo. Just like he does it in his own, kachu midal b'shel aniyim. He can do the same thing with the aniyim's property. Divri Rabbi Yehuda, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, b'shelo rashai, v'en rashai b'shel aniyim. He can do it in his own property, he can't do this on behalf of the aniyim. Let's do one at a time, each of these pieces. First of all, the midal b'kfanim is here where you have too many vines that are too close together. So you want to free up the vines so that they'll grow better. You pull out the vines that are in the middle. So you take out the excess vines, so you give more space for the residual vines to grow better. So by taking out the excess vines, that helps out. That is called meidal. The meidal over here, which is tolish, to pull out. It's like drawing, but here you're not drawing water. You're pulling out the vine in order to facilitate the growth of the remaining vines. So first of all, he says that's the definition of the word meidal. Now let's bring that to our case over here, which is madlin. You're allowed to now, he's saying, not draw water for irakot, but rather pick out the irakot. You're allowed to pull these vegetables out of the ground. Now, on Chol HaMoed, we know you're not allowed to do a melocha that is liapot, that increases the productivity of the field or makes the other vegetables better. That's exactly what you're doing. You're pulling out vegetables from in between, and you are creating a benefit to the vegetables that are left behind. So here, the definition of the Braita, or what the Braita qualifies and says is, that is lochlan. If you pull out the vegetables in between the rows that are causing the problem and eat them, that's fine. On the other hand, if it's le'aputan, if you're pulling those vegetables out just to strengthen the residual vegetables left behind, that is asur. So at Chol HaMoed, you can pick vegetables, even though by picking those vegetables, you're going to actually free up space and actually possibly be beneficial for the remaining vegetables. Nevertheless, that's mutar because you're doing it simply for eating the vegetables on Chol HaMoed, and that is allowed. Whereas if you do it not to eat them, then you have a problem, because then you're doing liyapotan, which is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. Now, the Mishnah that we quoted from Peah is talking about grapevines. On the grapevines, there are clusters of grapes that belong to the Baal HaBayit, but there are also ololot. Ololot are these anavim bodudot, these lone grapes that don't have a cluster around them. They don't have clusters sitting on top of them. So it's either a lone grape or a lone cluster. They belong to the aniyim, because that's one of the matnot aniyim from the field called the ololot. So now you have all these vines there. Some of the vines you can already see that the produce on them is going to belong to the aniyim. So the question is, can you, when you're working on your field and taking care of your vines, can you act on behalf of the Aniyim as well and do what you would do for yourself, do it for the Aniyim? That's the machloket here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. The way that the position of Rabbi Yehuda is, he's allowed to take care of the Aniyim stuff, as Tosfos points out, because the only time that the olot are restricted from you taking it is the Torah tells you at the time of harvest, you may not pick the olot. But before that point in time, you can do whatever you need to do. That includes pulling out vines, even if they have olot on them, because they'll improve the residual that's left behind. So just like you're going to improve your grapes, you'll also improve the grapes of the Aniyim, the other olot that are left behind, even though you're pulling out something that might have olot on it. So that's the way Rabbi Yehuda learns. Rabbi Meir says you can't touch the stuff of the Aniyim. You can only act on your behalf. You can't take care of the Aniyim. One of the distinctions the Gemara makes in the Yerushalmi, as well as in other places, is what's the difference between Shvi'it and Chol HaMoed. In Chol HaMoed, there's a problem of Tircha Yetera. It's a problem of making exertion or extra exertion. So since that's a problem, that's why all the things that we've spoken about here so far are problems for Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, for Shvi'it, the problem is not whether it's Tircha Yetera or not Tircha Yetera. It's simply a question of whether it's Mutar or not Mutar to do. Can you utilize it or can you not utilize it? So that's why the Gemara here is only addressed in Chol HaMoed, because all of the chashashot that we're spoken about so far, today's Gemara, are chashashot of Tircha Yetera. So Amar Lei, Vatanyo, says back to him, wait a minute, do you think that's the definition of Meidal? We have a break that says, Madlin Mayim Lirakot. You can draw water for your goat, Kedei Lochlan, in order that you can eat them. Amar Lei, Yitanya, Tanyo, says if there's a Breita, then I have to follow the Breita, because I thought that I would redefine the Meidal to be referencing the Yerakot and not the water. And then we have a Breita that explicitly says that the Meidal here is referring to the water itself, and that says that you are allowed to draw water for the Yerakot, Kedei Lochlan, on Chol HaMoed. And as Tosfot points out here, the top Tosfot points out over here, Madlin Yerakot, Mimakom Amok Kari Dilui. Drawing water means we're taking it from a deep place. That means the equivalent of what we call mekilon. So va'af agav di'ika tircha yateiro, even though there's an excess amount of effort that is being placed here, bishvil le'chol hetiru, when it comes to achila and chol HaMoed, then it is mutar. If you remember in our introduction to the Masechta, there are five different types of melachot that are mutar on chol HaMoed. One of the examples that is brought down, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, in the beginning of Tafkuf Lamed, he says one of those items are tzarchei moed, anything that is necessary for the moed. Hainu, the tzorach ochel nefesh, that's ochel nefesh, dumutar afilu masei uman. Even professional work can be done if it's for the tzorach ha moed. And even tircha yetera, as Tosfot says over here. So Josh, to answer your question, why is it mutar over here? Why can you do these malachot? That is because anything that is considered to be tzorach hamoed or tzorach ochel nefesh does not have the normal restrictions of malacha and is mutar legamrei on chol hamoed. And that's why over here he has a carte blanche to, first of all, water these vegetables which he wants to eat them, and he's going to pick them. He's also allowed to pick them because it's for tzorach ochel nefesh of the Yom Tov itself. All right, ve'enosim ugiot gvanim. This is in our Mishnah. You're not allowed to make the ditches around the vines. My ugiot. What are these ugiot? I'm Rav Yehuda Binke. Right, so Rashi says those are borot, tachar agvanim, v'zeitim, notim behemayim. Binke are these little ditches that are pools that you create underneath the olive trees or underneath the grapevines. And there you pull the water. So that's what these ugiot are. And they actually come from the word ag, which means to make a circle. Tanya Nami Hochi, Elohin Ugiot. What are these Ugiot? Bididin Shibikarei Zeitim, Ubishibikarei Gifanim. There are these Bididin, which again are ditches, are these holes that are at the base of the vines and the olive trees. Ini, is that really true? Vaha Rav Yehuda Sharalivne Bar Tzitai, Mebad Binke the Karmihon. Rav Yehuda allowed the people of Bar Tzitai to make these Binke in their vineyards. Now, if binke are really equivalent or synonymous with ugiot, our Mishnah says you're not allowed to make ugiot. And all of a sudden, Rav Yehuda is saying you can do these ugiot. It says, lokasha habacharete habatike. Depends what type of ugiot we're talking about here. If it's a brand new one, then you're not allowed to do it because that's tircha yetera. To create the ditch or the depression around the tree or around the gefen for the first time, that's way too much effort and that's too much of an investment. We won't let you do that on Chol HaMoed. Well, then, how about TK? If there's already a pre-existing ditch, it just got filled in or some dirt got in there, we allow you to dredge it out, we allow you to clear it out, and to remake the ditch. So Rav Yehuda was permitting them to do this because they pre-existed. He was just allowing them to fix it on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, the Mishnah that says, Ein Osim Ugiyot, that's talking about from scratch. You can't make Ugiyot on Chol HaMoed. Now, Rav Elazar ben Azayir Omer, Ein Osim Et Ha'ama. Rav Elazar ben Azayir in a Mishnah says, you may not make a water channel on Chol HaMoed and on Shvi'it. So now, Bishlam HaMoed, what's the problem on Chol HaMoed? Mishum Dekatarach. It's very simple. You just have to do way too much work to build a water channel. We're not going to allow you to do that on Chol HaMoed. El Shvi'it, my time. What's the problem of Shvi'it? So this is what we mentioned before. Tircha is not an issue on Shvi'it. The only problem is if you're doing Melechet HaKarka. Now over here, you're not doing Melechet HaKarka because you're simply making a water channel. You're not planting. You're not doing anything that has to do with growth. So what's the reason it's Asur? So Pligi Bar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel. Chana Mar Mibnei Shinirakil Oder. It's not a problem that you're digging into the ground. It's a problem that it looks like you are hoeing. It looks like you are loosening to the dirt that is there. So there's nothing inherently wrong with what you're doing. It just looks bad. Because when you dig out the ditch, the water channel, the dirt that you excavate, you're going to put up on the banks of the water channel. That dirt that you put up on the banks of the water channel is actually good planting dirt. It's a loose dirt. It's as if you have plowed dirt on the side now and you can use that for planting. So that's the problem, because now you're actually doing avodat hakarka. You're actually prepping the land to be able to be planted upon. So my benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Ika benayu deka'atu maya batrei. As he's digging the water channel, the water is flowing into the water channel as he's digging. That's what we call, the Gemara is going to use later on here, and we saw in the Gemara in Tanit, which is ezoro mochia chalav. This is the terminology, is that when you have the evidence for everybody to see, when there's a case of marat ayin, then it's no longer marat ayin. When it's obvious what he's doing because of the circumstances that are surrounding him, then there's no longer a problem of marat ayin. Over here, when the water flows into the channel as he's digging it, it's clear that he's digging it to make a water channel and not to hoe the ground, because otherwise you wouldn't fill it with water. So the fact that the water's there already indicates that it's not a problem. But according to one who says that the loose dirt that you throw up on the banks is going to create a planting surface, that's Ika. You still have a problem there because the water coming through the channel doesn't change the fact that you have this loose dirt on the banks that can be planted now. For the one who says that you when you dig it out and you put the dirt, you are making it fertile area for planting, then it's a problem. The one who says it looks like hoeing, it's not because the water's flowing in there. Mar says, the one who says that it looks like hoeing, why doesn't he have the problem of the other position? Why doesn't this look like he's prepping the land around it to be planted in? Ella, no, that can't be the nafkamina between them. Elika benayu, the kashakil mine, bishadi the brai. He's digging out the water channel, but instead of dumping the dirt on the banks of the water channel, he's actually carrying the dirt out. He's trucking it off to another location. For the one who says the problem here is you're now making a plantable area on the sides on the banks of the water channel, you don't have that because you're trucking the dirt out. The one who says it looks like hoeing, you're still hoeing, even if you take the dirt out. The idea of hoeing is to loosen up the dirt, and you're still doing that. It says, according to one who says that the problem here is that you're prepping the banks to be planted on, why does he have to worry about the problem that it looks like hoeing? It says, no, over here, that's not a problem. The definition of hoeing is that you turn the dirt over, but it stays in place. Over here, where you are trucking the dirt off, that's not called hoeing. Again, it's as if it's obvious now that you're not hoeing because the dirt is being trucked off. And that's why this will be a nafkamina between those two positions. Ameimar matni law. Ameimar has it explicitly in the Mishnah or in the Braita, which is that when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Ein osim et ha'ama, that's bibnei shinireku oder, because it looks like you're hoeing. Bikashale de Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ad Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But that creates a internal problem for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Umi amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ko shinireku oder asur. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah really say anything that looks like you're hoeing or digging on the ground is problematic? Biramini. Osea damet zvalo otsar. A person can make his dung into a storage area, which is basically he has an area of his field and he wants to pile up his dung there to store it. But the problem is that in the first layer of dung that he puts down, it looks like he's fertilizing the field. It's only when the fertilizer pile gets high do you realize he's not fertilizing the field, then he's actually storing the fertilizer there. So how do we deal with that problem? Rabbi Meir Oser, Ad Sheyamik Shlosha Tefachim, Od Sheyagbia Gimel Tefachim. Either he has to dig down into the ground a depression of 3 Tefachim, or he has to pile it up 3 Tefachim, which makes it obvious that you are not going to plant this area. Because of the depth now, or the height, it now differentiates it from the remainder of the field. And when you put the fertilizer there, it's going to be clear that you're not doing that to plant it, you're doing that to store it in that area. Hayalo Davar Muat, if he already started, meaning that before Shemitah year, he already had the fertilizer on the ground, and now he's going on top of it, Mosif Alav Holech. Then you continue piling up. You don't have to have the 3 Tefachim up or 3 Tefachim down, because it pre-existed. The fertilizer was already partially piled there, and when you continue to pile on top of it, that's not a problem. Nobody's going to assume that you're trying to fertilize the field. It looks like you're storing the fertilizer. Elazar ben Azariah says you can't do it. It's the only options are a 3 tefach depression, a 3 tefach pile, or you get to bedrock, and you're doing it on top of bedrock, where there's obviously no question of fertilizing. Now, according to Elazar ben Azariah here, in order to create the depression that's 3 tefachim deep, you have to dig. Well, digging, according to him, is a problem of oder, of hoeing. He says you're not allowed to dig out a water channel. So why don't we say the same thing over here? You're not allowed to dig out the 3 tefachim area in order to put the zevel, to put the dung there, in order to store it. Rabbi Elazar says, no problem, you can dig it out. Rabbi says, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba Ma'amel. This is the answer. The answer is that it was already 3 tefachim deep. Since it was already 3 tefachim deep, it's not like it means that you go now and dig it 3 tefachim deep. It's saying that if before Shemitah it was already 3 tefachim deep, then you can utilize it. But now we're asking you to dig it on the spot or on Shemitah, because he wouldn't permit that. Because he would say it looks like hoeing. Or the other possible answer is that Zivulo Mochiach Alav. The fact that he's piling up the fertilizer there already brings a proof to the fact of why he dug it out. In that when you dig out that area and then you put fertilizer down, it's clear that you dug out the area to put the fertilizer there, and you're not hoeing the ground. So since your activity is clear, there's no problem of Maritain in that case by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is not true by the water channel, where it's not clear that you are doing it for the water channel and not for the benefit. Now, Tosafot here asks a very interesting question. He says, Mivnei Shemachshir HaGafel Ezriya, Benirit Harisha Mamash. It looks like he's doing plowing. Inami Choshiv Le'avodat HaKarka Mamash. Tosafot entertains the possibility that it's not simply a problem of Marat Ayin, but it's actually a problem of Harisha. Even though he doesn't intend for planting the area, so it's a Dover Sheinu Mitkavein, and Dover Sheinu Mitkavein is Mutar, even Bishar Kol HaTorah, not just in Shabbat. The problem is here, Miu, over here it's a Malachi, because even though it's a Dover Sheinu Mitkavein, it is a Pasuk Reshe. It's a Pasuk Reshe that when you throw the dirt on the side, it's now going to be prepped for planting on it. Since it's a Pasuk Reshe, Dover Sheinu Mitkavein doesn't apply anymore. It's overridden by that fact. And that means that even without intent here to make it into a plantable area around the sides, but the fact that you put the dirt there and inevitably that's what it's going to be, then you would be chayav for Harisha. I mean, this is real Harisha, not just it looks like Harisha. That's what Tosafot says over here. Rabbanon Savre, Kevin Dayadei Shinoi, Avidlei, Lav Melochi. He gives an alternative. The Rabbanon believe that since he's doing it through a Shinoi, it's not called a real Melacha. This is not the normal way to set up a field, normal way to plow the field. This is a strange way to be plowing the field. So since it's a Shinoi, then we don't consider it to be a real Melacha. It's very interesting how Tosafot suggests over here, using the principles that we know from Shabbat, Davar Shein B'Kavein, and Pasuk Reishe, suggests that the problem here may not be a problem at Ayin, but rather a problem of real Melacha. Right? U'metaknin et mekulkelet b'moed. You'll have to fix up the things that went bad on Chol HaMoed. That's what the Mishnah says. My mekulkelet. What went bad? Some Rabbi Abba, Shemaita Muka Tefach, Mamidal Shishat Tefachim. If you have a water channel where the water channel got plugged in or something went wrong with it, if it was a tefach deep, mamidah shishat tefachim, you're allowed to take it down to 6 tefachim. So as long as there is a tefach left of the original channel, then we allow you to go back and re-dredge out the channel to the point that it is now 6 tefachim deep. 6 tefachim deep is an amah. That's why it's called amat hamayim. The reason that it's called amat hamayim is because the water channels were an amah by an amah. Very likely they were an amah wide by an amah deep. And so therefore, they were called amat hamayim because the water channels were made up of that, an amah by an amah. So it says here, if it has still has a residual tefach that is still there, then we allow you to re-dredge or dig out the channel to the point where it's 6 tefachim deep, which is the normal depth of the water channel. That's what it means that you can be mitakein et mekulkelet. You can take care of something that was ruined, meaning a water channel that was ruined. So Gemara says, pshita, I know for sure that chatzi tefach al shlosha tefachim came into law of armaya lo klomu. If you have a residual of half a tefach, and the original channel was 3 tefachim deep, then we know for sure that we don't allow you to do this. Because even if you dig out the additional 2.5 tefachim from your half tefach that's here, you're only going to get to a depth of 3 tefachim. And a depth of 3 tefachim is not a real functional water channel. So since it's not a real functional water channel, we're not going to let you dredge it out to get to back to a point where it's not really functional. So even though the ratio is the same, in our case it said 1 to 6 is allowed, nevertheless, half to 3, which is the same ratio, we're not going to allow it because you're not getting something functional in the end. Tefachayim al shneimasar, the channel is now currently 2 tefachim deep, and originally it was 12 tefachim deep. Over there also it's pshita, that we don't allow you to do this, because katarach tircha yitera. You're dredging out and digging down a channel that's not necessary. To have a channel that's 12 tefachim deep, that is not normal. That's not something that you need, and therefore it's excess effort for no reason on Chol HaMoed. So that's why it's low. We don't allow you to do it. Tfachayim al shiva mahu. But here's our question. What happens if there are still 2 tefach left of the channel that's still there, and the original channel was 7 tefachim deep? Mahu. Hacha chamisha kamamik? Hacha chamisha kamamik. Where you're mutar to do it is when you have a tefach left, and we allow you to dredge it down to 6 tefachim. So you're allowed to increase the depth by 5 tefach. In our case here too, there are 2 tefach that exist, and you're trying to get it down to 7, so you're digging out 5 tefachim. So just like in that case, you dug out 5 tefachim as mutar, so it's over here, you should be able to dig out the 5 tefachim and be mutar. That's one side. Or, the other possibility is, Dilma came to ika tefach yitera, ika tircha tfei. Since you're actually dredging or digging down an extra tefach of depth, that is an extra effort or investment, because you have to bend over, you have to dig in, and that's a tircha yitera that we're not going to allow. And where it says teiku, that's an unresolved issue as to what's the status of going from 2 to 7. No, 12, it's obvious that it's so deep that it's a tircha yitera. It's obvious to the Gemara that at 12 tefachim you're so deep that the effort that you're going to have to exert there is way beyond the pale. The question here is, well, you have one extra tefach. Is that enough to be considered a tircha yitera where we're not going to let you do it? You're digging or dredging out the same 5 tefachim with just a one little tefach extra. So that's the question. That's exactly the question of the Gemara. Is that enough to be considered tircha yitera? Or is that still within the realm of normalcy, which is one tefach? That doesn't make a difference. That's what Gemara leaves as a teiku. Alright. Abaye shor lebnei bar hamdoch l'shchufei naro. So Abaye allowed the people of bar hamdoch to take out the trees and branches that had grown in and were blocking the river. So he allowed them to take them out to free up the flow of the river. Rabbi Yirmiyah shor lehu lebnei tzchvato lemichra nahara tmima. He allowed the people of bnei tzchvato to dredge out the river, which was getting backed up, in order to reestablish the flow of the river, the proper flow of the river. V'ashi shor lehu lebnei matamachsia. V'ashi allowed the people of bnei matamachsia lakduchei nahar burnitz to drill down into the river of the burnitz. Rashi says, lefanot sirton shvemtza nahar, to take out the sediment that is sitting in the middle of the river. Again, that's really like the dredging that we're talking about. In the case before, where they talked about the michra nahar tmima, there it's talking about where the water source, like the mayan or the spring that is feeding the river, got plugged up, and we're dredging it out in order to allow the spring to flow freely into the river. Over here, this is like classic dredging, where they're dredging the river itself. They're taking out the sediment that's built up in the middle of the river. Amar, why is this all mutar? Kevin deshatu minei rabim ki rabim dami. Since the public drinks from the river, then the situation or the benefit of dredging out the river is a benefit of the rabim, of the public as a whole. So the flow of the river, even though dredging it out and taking it out is beneficial for certain people, but it's also beneficial for the public at large because of the fact that this was also a drinking source. If it was a drinking source and you're freeing it up and making the flow better, that is a positive for the rabim. It's none, and our Mishnah told us, Osim kol tzorchei rabim. That's another one of the dispensations that is allowed on Chol HaMoed, from Lach that's allowed on Chol HaMoed, is Tzorchei Rabim, things that are needed for the public at large. We saw that in the Mishnah, all the public works that are allowed to be done, fixing the roads, fixing the streets, the mikvaot, were all allowed because those are Tzorchei Rabim. So over here, where the public at large drinks from the river, then that becomes like a public work, so that becomes a benefit to the public at large. Now we've mutar to do the melacha on Chol HaMoed. Okay, we're going to stop over here.